Welcome to this Frequency Matters podcast. I'm Pat Hindle. I'm here with John Marin, Vice President of Marketing, and also Ryan Stevenson, Vice President and Chief Scientist at Kamaida Corporation. Welcome, guys.
Hi, thanks, Pat.
Thanks very much for having us.
So Kamaida is a very intriguing company. We've been following you for many years with your unique metamaterial approach to beam steering, and we've seen you evolve into a full SATCOM service marketing provider, and we wanted to explore some of these topics with you today. So how did Kamaida get started, and where did your unique metamaterial beam steering technology come from?
You know, the technology really, it was born out of metamaterials research from Duke University and David Smith, who's sort of a godfather of metamaterials. And that transitioned to a project at Intellectual Ventures, a local company in the Seattle area that incubated the technology and the concept for a couple of years until we spun off to create Kamaida in August of 2012. And so the express purpose of Kamaida is to commercialize this technology for satellite connectivity solutions.
So can you describe how your beam steering approach works and how it's accomplished, and compare that to traditional phased arrays that people are kind of used to seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. Fundamentally, it's not a phased array. It utilizes two basic principles: holographic diffraction, and the way that we implement the diffraction is with a reconfigurable metamaterial surface. So that what that means is there are no active RF elements in the array itself. So there are no amplifiers or phase shifters. So ultimately, it results in something that's much lower power consumption than a traditional phased array. There's a close analogy to a slotted waveguide. So it's a traveling wave or a leaky wave implementation from that perspective, where we get phase discrimination based on the dense spacing of elements, whereas a phased array would control phase directly, right, through phase shifters.
Right.
Normally, though, and one of the reasons for the amplifiers is normally you have a lot of loss associated with the phase shifters, with the corporate splitting network, both of which Kamaida eliminates in our design. So the net result is an electronically scanned array with the same beam agility as a phased array, but as I mentioned, lower power consumption, lower complexity. And in our particular instance, where we've leveraged liquid crystal and flat panel display manufacturing techniques, we're also able to incorporate a full duplex array in the same physical substrate or same physical aperture. So we have receive and transmit in the same physical aperture, which is something you typically don't see with full duplex phased arrays. So we have both the power advantage and a size and weight advantage, which is critical for land mobile applications.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're very thin arrays, so very amazing technology. So how do you design and manufacture that type of array?
So the main component, the metamaterial or metasurface component, that's actually manufactured right now on commercial liquid crystal display lines. And that's been our approach to scale in how we've approached the design, aligning ourselves with, you know, I think what is arguably one of the highest volume sort of consumer electronics manufacturing methods around, you know, the same manufacturing approach that makes all the large screen TVs that you walk by at Costco is making our metasurface for the antenna component.
So you mentioned it's a low-cost approach. That's kind of been the knock on beam steering technologies. They've been very expensive, power hungry. Are you able to drive down the cost of these arrays for high volume, broad commercial use?
Yeah, absolutely we can. It's sort of more of an, at this point, a natural volume scaling. And as I mentioned, when you look at the TFT flat panel liquid crystal display industry, there's a very, very clear maturation of volume growth and how that's going to scale with that manufacturing.
So kind of turning to the business case, I think you've acquired a couple of companies and you kind of have evolved from a device manufacturer to a full service provider for communications. You know, how have you approached that and how have you accomplished that?
I can answer that for you, Pat. So if you think about our first generation product, the U7, it really laid the groundwork for understanding what the needs and desires of our customers were in the marketplace. One thing that we realized very quickly was selling hardware alone, although certainly was needed in the marketplace, it wasn't the complete solution. And we equate it to something simple that everybody can understand, which is imagine going into your local cellular store and saying, I want a new whatever phone. And they sell you the hardware and say, now go someplace else to find out how you get your cellular service. Right? People would be like, well, what do you mean? How do I do that? Well, people were experiencing the same kinds of problems in the satellite industry, saying, okay, I have hardware, I have an antenna now. How do I connect to a satellite? How much is it going to cost and where do I get it from? So from that learning that we got from the U7, we were able to build into the U8 a solution that's software defined called Chimeta Connect. And Chimeta Connect is really all about supplying both the hardware and the services or the connectivity and the customer service on the back end to make sure that our customers have the proper hardware to be connected to a communication satellite wherever they are in the world, but also that they have the proper throughput speeds, the proper connectivity, and they're not shopping all over to figure out how they're going to get connected. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world, through Chimeta Connect, you're connected to your service.
So what kind of acquisitions did you have to make to expand into that area?
Well, principally, we acquired a company called Lepton Global Solutions. They are a leading provider of satellite-based turnkey communication solutions to government military customers. So now they're a wholly owned subsidiary of Chimeta. And that's allowed us to scale the global network infrastructure that John was just talking about. So we can provide customized connectivity solutions end-to-end in Turkey, like John mentioned, with both the hardware and the connectivity solution. And so that allows us to approach those sorts of customers more on an OpEx model, which is advantageous for them.
So in addition to Lepton, right, we also have more than 100 partners around the world that help us reach out to all the appropriate customers. But also, you may have seen recently, we just announced a partnership with Santander Teleport, which helps us extend our existing support to operators on the other side of the Atlantic, which is always important. We also announced just recently a partnership with a company called Blue Edge Global, which allows us to do all the training needed downrange out of the classroom in real world, real life situations so that operators can make sure they understand how the product works, how to get connected, and how easy it is. And the simple truth is that the product is so simple and easy to use. If you're anywhere capable of being able to install a great stereo in your car, you can put one of these on top of your vehicle, regardless of what kind of vehicle it is. It mounts right on top of a standard roof rack. So it's pretty simple to put in. And you asked this question earlier about power consumption. It runs right off of DC native power. So no extra batteries required, no additional power required. Its power consumption on it is relatively low, especially in comparison to other markets. But getting back to Chimeta Connect for a second, it's really a full service, one-stop shop offering. So you get your hardware, you get your connectivity, you can pick whether or not you need a certain amount of cellular speed versus satellite speed or some hybrid mix of that. We're pretty flexible in the pricing, and the goal is really to offer our customer the best customer experience they can get without having to worry about, oh my gosh, am I going to run out of service?
Well, that's very impressive that it's that easy to install and operate. How is your mobile service different from others? Because you mentioned that it's a hybrid system.
Well, the great thing is that, you know, there's a spot on the side of the terminal or the antenna for a SIM card, right? And it's a global SIM card. So it connects basically through the relationships that we have worldwide with different cellular carriers. And then obviously it switches automatically for best use case to satellite if there is no cellular connectivity where you are. So that's the hybrid part of the solution so that you're not having to say, oh, my cellular is not working, let me switch. It just does it automatically, which is great. And then switches back as needed. And because it's a global SIM, if you're based in a specific country and you ship your terminal or your vehicle or whatever to another country, again, you just turn it on and it works.
I could maybe expand a little bit on what John was just saying. I think it's sort of a first of its kind in terms of Chimeta's view of needing to bring every network to bear to solve connectivity challenges. whether it's a terrestrial cellular network where you are maybe in an urban environment and have very great cellular coverage. And then when you leave that environment, you're in a more rural or remote area, you can seamlessly switch over to the satellite network. And so in the Chimeta solution, that's all being orchestrated through a software-defined wide area network. So the switchover can happen seamlessly.
So with this impressive system, you know, what are your main target applications and markets that you're investing in now, and where do you see the future of those?
Yeah, I'll start and I'll let Ryan expound on it a bit. Primarily, we're looking at defense, government, and public safety to start with. These are critical need areas for communications on the move. You know, it's one thing to say, well, we're going to be stationary. We can set up a dish or a phased array antenna or whatever and get connectivity where we're not moving. But that's not really where our sweet spot is. Our sweet spot is to make sure that if you're in the military and you're having to travel across, you know, rugged terrain or terrain that's under fire, we want to make sure that you're not having to stop and point something at the sky and then become a target. If you're a first responder, whether that's firefighter or ambulance, the goal is to let your teams arrive ready. So it doesn't matter whether you're traveling 2 miles an hour or 70 miles an hour over pretty much any given terrain. That allows those folks to be safe, to keep themselves safe, to keep us safe, and to, as I said, arrive ready and be connected. After defense and government and public safety, certainly we're looking at commercial applications like rail, trucking, maritime, oil and gas, things like that. So it's not that we're only focused on the first two, but those are our priority to start with.
So how do you see your technology evolving over the next few years and your service? Where do you think it can go beyond this?
Well, specifically, as I alluded to earlier, we're moving away from being just a hardware-only company to being a solutions and hardware company so that our customers feel like they can come to us and get everything that they need. By bringing the best-in-breed hardware, we bring a full-service connectivity solution, and we make sure that, again, it's easy, simple to use. You know, it's really funny when we talk to people, as Ryan started to talk about the technology itself, it's very, very complicated. But what most people don't get is that it's very, very complicated, and it was harder to make it really, really easy. So we want to make sure that that point comes through loud and clear. And with the bundle, we really can understand that as customers buy it on a per gigabyte basis, we can make sure that we're offering not only a best-in-class hardware solution, but a best-in-class software solution. And of course, as Ryan said, you know, with larger volumes, prices will start to come down as well. So we see a genuine need in the marketplace for this. I think it's really important to know that the thing that really differentiates Chimeta from other products that are in the market is, one, like I said, our sweet spot is really a comms on the move solution. It's easy to use. It's easy to set up. It doesn't require specific skill sets from your operators. Really, in 15, 20 minutes, it's pretty easy to understand. You turn it on and it works. And Chimeta is really about solving a customer need that a lot of people weren't aware of. I got asked a question the other day that was, what do you think your single biggest risk for Chimeta is? And the answer actually, believe it or not, is not hardware-based. It's not software-based. It's awareness. You know, with COVID that we've had this past year, typically when you launch a new product like we did in November when we launched the U8, you spend quite a bit of time getting out there in front of customers and partners and showing how your product works. That was very difficult to do this past year. But despite that, people really understand that there's a need for a solution like this, and the demand for the product has been overwhelming, which we find very, very gratifying. It lets us know that this hard work that we've put in is really starting to pay off, and people understand that there's a need to be connected wherever they go, whenever they go somewhere.
Well, thank you very much, John and Ryan, for joining me today. It was very fun to learn about Chimeta's interesting evolution into the SATCOM market and how you've expanded into a full-service company and where you're heading in the future. You can listen to more Frequency Matters podcasts at podcast.microwavejournal.com. And thank everybody for listening.